May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
This evening we focus our attention on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 26. You may be seated. We spent a lot of time during this Lenten season reflecting on this phrase, for us. And in our gospel for tonight, our Lord gives us an insight into how we know that his work really is for us. And we know this because we can look at the words from Jesus and hear exactly what it is that he says to us. He says, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The events that Matthew records here take place on the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He's gathered in the upper room to share the last meal with his disciples, his closest friends, his confidants. And they're celebrating the Passover. That night when the angel of death visited the firstborn of Egypt, and when God saved the people of Israel with his mighty hand by allowing that angel to go right over them, because they had been faithful. They had done what God had said, and they had put that blood on their doorposts and on the lintel, and God saved them. And since that time, that Passover was celebrated as a yearly reminder, yet more than just a reminder. It bound the people of Israel to that night that had happened so long ago. The cost was great, and the Lord kept his people safe from Egypt, even taking them through the Red Sea on dry ground, allowing them to walk across where there was no path before, creating that path for them, and then closing that path on the Egyptian army behind them. But on this night, as Jesus gathered with his disciples in that upper room, as they remembered that Passover, the cost would be even greater. Jesus gathers his disciples whom he loves, and he has this meal with them. But this night is not another celebration of the Passover. Another remembrance of how God had taken care of them before. This is something new. Jesus is putting in place a new covenant with his people. When Jesus gives his disciples the bread and the cup, it becomes very clear that he's giving them something different, something more than what they've had before. It's not just bread and wine that he gives them, but his very body and blood, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. In giving them his very body and blood to eat and to drink, Jesus makes clear that his life will be sacrificed for the sins of the world. You don't shed your blood, you don't give up your body without having to die. And Jesus had to die. And he did it willingly. Because he's not just another rabbi. He's not just another one in this string of preachers and teachers peddling their wares in the face of Roman oppression. No, this is the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But there is something strange about what Jesus says on that night. On that Thursday night in the upper room, why does the text say for many and not for everyone or even for you? The point of the text saying for many is to highlight that Jesus' sacrifice is not just for a select few, but it's for the many. There are a whole lot of people there in Jerusalem for that Passover, who would believe that if that sacrifice was for just a few, that it would be for them. That they would be the select, that they would be the chosen ones. But Jesus' sacrifice is not for a few. It's for many. And the point of that is not that it excludes anyone at all. Because we know that God wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. It says, for many, so that you, each and every one of you, will know that you are part of the great work that the Lamb of God has done. Tonight, Jesus' words, for many, means for you. Tonight, Jesus gives of himself in a way that's unlike anything or anyone ever has. No God gives his own flesh and blood for the salvation of the world. No God, that is, except for Jesus. Tonight, we see the great work of our Lord and how it's part of a greater story of God's work to redeem the world. And in doing so, we see that the Lord's gift of himself was not new to the children of Israel. Far from it. This is what God has been doing from the very beginning. He's been creating a path. He's been making a way. He made it for Adam and Eve. He made it for the Israelites on the way out of Egypt. He got them to the promised land, and now he is giving them the way and the truth and the life, the way to overcome their sins, the way to overcome our sins. Think back for just a moment to that Old Testament reading from Exodus 24. Moses took that sacrifice and the blood, he put both on the altar and he put it on the people. And then he took Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel and he took them up onto Mount Sinai. And the text says they saw the God of Israel. And when they saw God up there on the mountain, God didn't harm them. He didn't hurt those elders in any way. He didn't even lay a hand on them. And the text tells us they beheld God and ate and drank. To see God is to be holy. For only one who is holy and pure may enter into the presence of God. That sacrifice had been made. The blood had been sprinkled on the people, including the elders. So then when they entered into the presence of God, they did so as his children, holy and beloved. Not pure and holy because of themselves or because of anything that they had done, but pure and holy because the blood of the sacrifice was upon them. And in the same way, we too, even today, can enter into the presence of our Lord because the blood of the sacrifice is upon us. When God looks down upon us, he doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of his very own Son, Jesus Christ, poured over us so that we might be seen as pure and holy. And what did those elders do when they got up to the top of that mountain and were in the presence of the Lord? They ate and they drank because they were at peace with God. The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ puts us at peace with God as well, because Jesus' blood was shed on the cross for you. The sacrifice that atoned, that is, paid for your sins, has been made. You've been washed and you've been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. In your baptism, the blood of Christ now covers you. And in him you are a new creation. And you can stand before the throne of God because of his great work for your salvation. Luther's great hymn on the Lord's Supper that we just sang, O Lord, we praise thee, puts it all this way. The holy body into death was given, life to win for us in heaven. No greater love than this to thee could bind us. May this feast thereof remind us, O Lord, have mercy. Lord, thy kindness did so constrain thee, that thy blood should bless and sustain me. All our debt thou hast paid. Peace with God once more is made. O Lord, have mercy. Come to the table of the Lord. Receive his gifts, which only he can give. And rest assured that when you hear these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, it means for you, right here and right now. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.